Log Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
You Cannot Say, written by Jay Hatter, and music and singing by Shout Even Shy. This is Deborah Lee, and I'm from A Team of Voices, a poetry group, radio group that hangs out at allpoetry.com. Free place to join if you are a poet and want to write. If you're already there, you can find us on the Groups tab under A Team of Voices. Knock on the door, come hang out with us. You can call the show by dialing 1-646-668-2837. And this is Personal Prompt Monday. And on Mondays, the people who participate get individualized prompts, and then they bring their amazing selves and their brilliant poetry to the line and dazzle us with their brilliance. And speaking of, there's a handful of those that have been waiting, so let me let them in. We have our dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life Radio, Stephen and Kay. Welcome to the show, you two.
Hello.
Glad you're here. And right behind them is Dave Prophet. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hi, Deb.
Good day.
Hey. Hey, you guys.
Glad you're
How
here.
Are you doing?
Doing
Thank
well.
Thank you so much.
And right
Good.
Behind him is Sky from a whole list of radio stations, one of which is this one of which is a Poetic Slice, and I believe LCN. It's got a lot of hats.
Hi.
And right behind Sky is Wayne.
Hey,
Hello, Wayne.
Wayne. I always wanted to be
Welcome
behind Sky.
To the show. And last but not least, my buddy Linda's at the door. Hello, Linda. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How
What's
are
up, Linda?
You? Good to see
I'm
you.
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Glad everyone's here. Hatter's going to try to make it, but I don't know because I told him if he needed to go to sleep. So we will see what happens. In the meantime, this is the first show in a new subject that I'll do periodically through the year. And we're going to take journeys to the different national parks around the world. And the first one that we're starting with is today with the Olympic National Park. Does anybody hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. I'll check the line.
I'm on mute.
Okay. Oof. I don't.
That was weird.
I don't hear it in anybody's. Okay. Well, at the moment, it's not doing it, so it's all good. But yes, the first park again is Olympic National Park in Washington State in the United States, and it's a lush, green, gorgeous place, and there were so many photos to pick from because there was a staggering amount of beauty, each one for its own reason, of course, but there's waterfalls and wildlife and moss and little brooks, and there's critters. It's a really, really beautiful place, one of many, 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 and looking forward to seeing what everyone did with their photo. Sometime next month, we're going to pop over to Baffin's Island, and that's in Canada, and there's some beautiful country way north. And there's polar bears and caribou and all kinds of amazing animals and glaciers. So that ought to be another gorgeous show in a different color zone, whites and blues and icy colors and some green as well. So there's that to look forward to. But in the meantime, let's get into this park here in the U.S. of A. I'm going to go over and grab the poem that Kay wrote and put it on the board and get us going here because they have a show tonight as well. So let's get this one on the road. Grabbing the link, and I'll be there with it in just a second. Here we go. And Kay, as soon as you see it, please take us away.
Yeah. Okay, I call this aquamarine apples, blackberry, cashmere, the champagne, and the green reed cherry. Forked in the end line of out the window castaway, out of place greening, in between cracks of tracks, destination immeasurable, unheard of, off center, unequaled forward facing, thin on the ground, and tightly wrapped in sunlight, a few sandwiches short of a picnic, mind boggling, awe inspiring, far off and little known, hole and corner of clutch to one's chest. Sitting on the fence of a moot point, betwixt and between sixes and sevens, between rock and a hard place, neither fish nor fowl, clear as dishwater, waffling in the breeze of a day, chestnut in the maze of mahogany, rust in the rows of crunching earth between the feet. And pump.
You know, I was never so glad as I was a moment ago that I always mute myself in between. Kay, this is like becoming a habit with you, for me getting stuck on this line that I wish I wrote because it's that damn brilliant. And I bet you everybody in this room knows exactly which line it is, a few sandwiches short of a picnic. I love it. It made me laugh. I've never heard it put that way before, but it's perfect.
Me neither.
Wow, I love that. And that's what happens. I get pulled into this line, and then I have to go back and look because, like, I love the title, but the all the coloring. It's like a big ink blot full of imagery just right from the get-go with the title. And it forked in the end lines of an out-the-window castaway, out-of-place, graining, falling between the cracks, tracks. Wow! The images, the sounds, the sights, they're all packed just from the beginning. It's like you pull us in into the journey. And like I said, my eyes keep taking me back to the sandwiches short of a picnic. Again, a line I wish I wrote. And sitting on the fence of a moot point. You know, I've been there, sitting on that fence more times than I can care to count, especially waiting for that person to realize that it's a moot point. So, like, this is really awesome. I like where you took it. And this is the first one that you had to work harder on, I think, because usually you're the first person on there, and I was a little bit worried. But, wow, not only an amazing poem, but a poem that's got another jealousy-worthy line in it. So I love where you took this. There's that noise again. Oh, and here's my big brother. Hold on a second. Hatter.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Wasn't sure if
Hey, Hatter.
Yeah. Glad you're here.
Hey, Steve. Dave.
Great.
And we got Sky and Linda and Steven and Kay and Wayne. And did I say Dave? No, you said
nope.
Dave. But, yeah, so glad you're here. I'm just getting some comments for Kay, so hold tight a moment. Dave, what did you think of Kay's poem?
Were you asking me that, Deb? I didn't hear that very well.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Oh, I really like this. First of all, I have to say that I think that there's a little pathway in every person's life that's not known by a lot of other people. And that's kind of the way this one hit me. And then I started listening to Kay read all of these cool lines like a few sandwiches short of a picnic. That's good. Sitting on the fence of a moot point. I've been there myself. Between and betwixt, between sixes and sevens, between rock and a hard place. Neither fish nor fowl, clear as dishwater, waffling in a breeze of a day. That's cool. Kay always finds a way to assemble words that is really amazing to me. I wish I could do it. It really stands out when you read the poem, and it's descriptive at the same time, and it makes you scratch your head and say, why didn't I do that? So anyway, good job here, Kay. I really like what you did with this. It was fun and upbeat, and it was really, really fun to listen to you read it.
Okay.
Awesome comment. How about you, Wayne?
That's crazy noise I've heard. This is a wonderful poem. And then
hold on one second, though, Wayne. Let me see if I can figure out what this is. That's bizarre. One at a time, let's try. Sky, say something.
Something?
Okay, thank you. Linda, say something for me.
Something.
Okay, thank you. And it was doing it before you got here, Hatter. So obviously it's the studio because it wasn't happening with while the poem was being read, and it didn't happen to anybody who just answered my question, and it's random. There it is.
Take some. Take some, Dave.
It is a log talk, after all.
It's some kind of interference.
I was just going to say, but while I've been talking this whole time, and it does it now and then.
Oh.
I thought maybe somebody was trying to speak, and I didn't realize it, and that's what the song. I mean, that's what the noise were. But everybody who spoke for me, I heard clearly, so it wasn't somebody trying to
does
talk.
Does everybody hear it? Does
yep.
everybody hear it?
Oh yeah.
Anybody knows?
I hear it.
Okay.
The ghost of the machine.
It's like clicking or rubbing or something, or static or something. It's weird.
Something. You know what
anyway.
It sounds like? Remember, a laser gun, like a kid's laser gun or something, sort of noise. To me, anyway. All right, well.
Okay. This is a lot of folks. You're yeah. you okay? And he's closing in on V perfectly with following in between the tracks and the racks and the tracks. He's mind-boggling, all-inspiring, far off and little known, between six and seven, between a rock and a hard place, and either fish or fowl. He's closing on the wrong view perfectly. I love the way you all the... Hello? I love the point with a whole lot. It's really good. Great point. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you, Wayne. Sky, will you please comment for Kay?
Yes. I love the lines, the mind-boggling, awe-inspiring, far off and little known, on the corner close to one's chest. And, of course, following with those sandwich lines, which were quite brilliant as well. For me, I like the tones of a life and the messages between, such as being stuck in between a rock and a hard place. Three lines, I thought, with the play on language was quite brilliant. And sometimes we are far from where we need to be. Sometimes we're kicked off, and sometimes we like it that way. Sometimes we find our way back. And I really like the fun language you put into this, but also the interesting thought. Really well done.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, will you comment for your wife and then read your poem for us?
Sure. It's nice that I get the insight sometimes because I get it on this one, as you did a little bit of a double dip since you and Joe Walsh this week. So you kind of went to the song as well in the city.
Yeah.
But what I said in my comment, stop zapping me. I think this is an absolute masterpiece. Not only is this a great way to picture in the word bank, but it also speaks to that Joe Walsh song in the city. But I took it a step further too, because it also speaks to the movie Joe Walsh song as part of the soundtrack of the Warriors, because they were definitely between a rock and a hard place trying to get back home to Coney Island. Awesome poem.
Thank you.
Excellent insight there. Wonder where that came from. And yours is up there if you would take us away, please.
All right. When I saw this picture, I saw a spider. So I had to go, and we've been talking about the Lord of the Rings a lot lately. I don't know why, Sky. But I went to one of the priests in The Hobbit called Morpheus, and I called it a squirrel. A stroll through Mirkwood will be your last. Thick thread. An enormous piece of earth erupts. A cork-like door of asparagus vegetation, copper soil, and hinged on pearl spider silk. Eight hairy, monstrous black coffee legs, ancient, covered in moss, blot out the cold sky. Yellow liquid-stained denim, arachnid claws, grasp and red plasma scales, while its fangs turn inner to rust, right back into its web sarcophagus. End poem.
Oh, web sarcophagus. All right, hold on one second. Dave, it's your phone.
Yeah.
Can you do me a favor and dial back?
Sure, yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, hold on a minute here.
Sorry about that. Okay. I love that you took this in a spider kind of way, because it does look like a spider web. And I love the stroll through Mirkwood. Is that part of the rings, Lord of the Rings? Sky? Yeah, okay, cool. I a cork-like door of asparagus vegetation, copper soil, and hinged on pearl spider silk. Great, great, great descriptions. Yellow liquid stains denim as its scarlet eyes glare. And for some reason, the yellow liquid stains denim struck me as, you know, you scared the... usually they say that the number two out of me, but that one made me think that, you know, that they peed themselves. and while its fangs turn inwards to rust, dragged back into its webbed sarcophagus, the gruesome visuals right there is like, holy cow. So, like, this brevity, it packs a punch, Stephen. And like I said, I really, really like the fact that you did the angle from that spider. And black coffee legs. There's a different way to look at a spider now. Oh, he's got black coffee legs. No, well, his is cream and sugar. No, this is really cool. Excellent brevity. Let me get you some comments. Wayne, will you comment for Stephen, please?
That was a very good poem. It had a lot of description in it. You brought the little monster bear, you brought the monster to life, tripped over a thick thread, a cork-like door of asparagus vegetation, and an eight-hairy monstrous black coffee legs. It's pretty much, you had a monster going there pretty good. It's a good poem, and good all the way through, good storyline. I like it a lot.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And Linda, how about you?
Well, I thought it was quite dark and chilling. If you had arachnophobia, this would scare you to death. Great descriptive motivation, though. It was very well written. Good job, Stephen.
Thank you, Linda.
Awesome.
You're
comment.
Welcome.
And Sky, how about you?
Oh yeah, I thought this was great. I think Shelob's mother, Shelob or Shelob's mother Ungoliant, took a little stroll in Mirkwood, and I'm telling you what, I wouldn't want to be there. And I have to say that as soon as I saw this picture, Stephen, I too saw a spider. So I think we both have the same thoughts. And I was like, oh, I want this one too. But I did say that about a lot of them. But I did see a spider. I love that you went with that idea. What is that? It's called when you see things and objects. I always forget the name, but there's just a name for that. And I definitely I love that abstract thinking and seeing things in such pictures such as this. And I love that you went with it. And I really, really liked that. I mean, there were many things that I liked about the idea of the copper soil and stuff, pearl spider. I love those images with those, with the colors, but the idea of asparagus of vegetation. It feels a little bit like it's long asparagus. And now as I eat asparagus, I'm going to be thinking about spider legs. So I appreciate that from you. There's trauma right there. So that's always good. And I thought you did a wonderful job with the word bank, and I really, really liked the creativity with it.
Thanks, guy. Yeah, I did a little research on the trapdoor spider. That's what I saw there, like bursting up from the ground. That's where the whole vegetation, soil, and spider silk all made the trapdoor. That's what they're usually composed of.
Oh, my goodness.
Awesome. And, Kay, will you comment for your husband, and then he can tell us about the mortuary, please.
Yeah, the picture, I definitely, I can see how it leads mine to see it, because I definitely can see a spider. So I could see how Lord of the Rings came to play, because it has its unwelcoming look to it. And you definitely played on that with the imagery there. So, yeah, there's definitely mystique, bringing in the unknown, the haunting elements. Yeah, this is cool.
Thanks, son. Yes, I know. I know your point. Coming up tonight, a little later tonight, a little over an hour, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, Mortuary of Shadows over at Aquatic Place of Life. We are doing Edgar Allan Poe quotes you can write to, or if you already have a poem that you have already written to something from Edgar Allan Poe, you can bring that as well. So it's going to be a Poe night. I feel Poe.
Cool.
Awesome. See you over there. Dave, did you get back in time to hear Stephen's poem?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, when I saw that prompt, I almost picked that one because I did see a spider in that one myself. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one that saw that. I think you did a really good job describing that. Eight hairy, monstrous black coffee legs. I like that. Ancient and covered in moss, blot out the cobalt sky. Wow. Yellow liquid stains denim, and its scarlet eyes glare, erect in claws, grass red plasma spills. Jeez. Yeah, this is scary. It's got a little bit of a, I don't know, to me it's got a little humorous tint to it, but I liked it. Yeah, it was really well done. It's well written. You did a hell of a good job with the prompt and the colors and the whole nine yards. So I have to tell you, well done.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, there's probably a little dark humor weaved in there.
Oh, that's great.
Just a little. All right, and Dave, yours is on the board. Sky, you're on deck.
Oh, okay. Well, when I looked at this one, I looked at a whole bunch of them. There were still quite a few prompts up, and I wrote this not too long after they were posted. I was struck by how straight the trees are in this particular prompt, and it reminded me of the woods out here in the Pacific Northwest because they look just like that, and there's a lot of evergreens, and I can look around my house and I see Douglas firs out there that are over 100 feet tall, so that's no exaggeration either. So anyway, I call this one verticality. It's a little word invention that I thought up all by myself. So it goes like this. It was the day I found such trees, my dog and I, off of a million and one logging spurs, silver skeletons of what used to be, crisscrossed the mountain meadow, giant matchsticks propped up, their stumps left this way and that, sitting on top of an asparagus carpet at the end of the meadow, a wall such as I have never seen before, trees so straight their emerald boughs at 90 degrees to their trunks, and blended chestnut sublimes into moss greens and quicksilver, but oh, so straight they grew, Douglas firs, indigo spruce, such mighty evergreens, so vertical, stretching into the clouds, their tops dissolving into platinum obscured by clouds. Such dizzying heights they attain, bald eagles gliding around the tops in and out of such cloudy down. My woods 100 feet or higher, but these, my stars, thousands of feet, know no bounds. My dog looked up and barked. Even he was aghast at such verticality. Swords of sunlight, staccato interruptions, and stunted oranges with trailing yellow trails, tears from a crimson eye watching over the forest verticality, their roots puncture an apricot carpet woven with apple-twisted celery threads, covers up strange forms in olive drabs that bear no resemblance to trees, tattooed in thistledown and tumbleweed, more alien than terrestrial. I stood there, my dog and I, pondering my trespass upon such forest sanctity. Such reverie have I to the greens in 3,500-foot evergreens, prehistoric in her countenance, wind-song vowels and consonants whispering to me, the dark mother to see. We give worship to her on high. We are her children, for we shall not let the clouds go. We've held them fast for centuries. We cause the rain to fall where it always will be found. Crystalline tears from the dark mother to thee. End poem.
Awesome. I love the one word title, verticality. Excuse me. It was the day I found such trees, my dog and I, off of a million and one logging spurs, silver skeletons of what used to be, silver skeletons of what used to be, which is, no matter what you apply it to trees, to plants, to people, as a mega sad phrase. So you set the tone for the scene. Crisscrossed the mountain meadow, giant matchsticks propped up. And I was a little bit sobered by that because it technically they are, because, you know, the forest fires, one minute everything's fine, the next minute it's like poof, and it is like they burn like matchsticks. So that hit me pretty profoundly right there, the thought of it being gone. Versus how long it had to sit there to be. I mean, look at that. It's absolutely covered in moss everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would look at it and miss the beauty of it and the time it takes to paint that beautiful scenery right there. You know. The sadness of the matchsticks really gets me there. Douglas firs, indigo spruce, such mighty evergreens, so vertical, stretching into the clouds. That part is absolutely stunning. And I have to admit, we were getting going on, and I'm like, the dark mother's not going to be in this one. And then, lo and behold. So she even when you go traveling to state parks around the world, she comes to. She's been more places than most of us. Really cool. Like I said, I really love that one stanza, though. I keep getting pulled back to it, stretching into the clouds. Gorgeous work. You did a great job with this prompt, David. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah. You're welcome.
And let me get you some comments. Let me get a comment from Stephen, please.
Yeah, I like this. Excuse me. The imagery in this is absolutely amazing, Dave. I like the way that you describe things. The use of the colors and the word bank, asparagus, carpet, celery threads, giant matchsticks. I could go on and on with this. I thought that this is an echo right to an awesome picture. You really did it justice in this story poem. It's very well done.
Oh, thanks, Stephen. I appreciate that.
Awesome comment. And Kay, did you want to comment, please?
Well, yeah, I'll second what Stephen said, and I will say as well that you really did capture something wonderful with your prompt, because there is a sense of adventure, but there's also, as I see, spirituality to words, because you take us through the woods with you and your dog. While you speak of the dark mother, the creator of her children, you really worked some magic into your prompt, Dave. It's an awesome share.
Well, thank you, Kay. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
I think it's a wonderful poem you wrote there, Dave. And I think it's just, the picture looks like telephone pole heaven to me. And maybe they'll get to live for a while with all this wireless technology. They'll make telephone poles out of them. And it'd be hard to build a treehouse in one of them. You have to have several to build a treehouse. And I see a dog down there barking, saying, I ain't climbing up there. It's pretty hard to climb for a dog to go in a straight tree. And they're making some hell of ancient arrows, too, if you made arrows out of them. Great poem, Lois. I love the poem, and good job.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Linda?
Yeah, you did a really good job on this, Dave. It was a wonderful story. Your fantastic love of the trees and the forest kind of shines through in this. The imagery was colorful and bold, and it was a metaphoric charm. I really liked the part, swords of sunlight, staccato interruptions, It's in stunted oranges with trailing yellow tails. Beautifully put, my poet friend. Great job, David.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Sky, can you comment for Dave and then read your poem for us, please?
I thought it was an excellent piece. I was getting a little, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I was getting a little of the Tommyknocker vibe for a little bit.
Yeah.
The dog and having a power of the beings of that thing greater. I don't know, I just got a little Tommyknocker vibe. But it could be because I love the Tommyknockers. But I thought this was an absolutely beautiful story, as everyone said. I really love the detail coming in the beginning with a silver skeleton of what used to be that ancient history have going on there, and then bringing that history to the present by explaining the mixture that are going on all visuals, and then even bringing it further from past to present, and then even going into perhaps not the future, but something quite beyond with the Dark Mother and giving us this homage and this prayer. So I thought it was quite well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Sky.
Awesome. And Sky, just hold 1 second before you start reading, please. Let's say hello to the Queen of Canada. Hey, Lady A, welcome to the show.
Hi,
Lady A.
Hi, everybody.
Glad you're here.
Hi,
you're just in time to hear Sky read.
Oh, good.
Gotcha. All right, so I have to explain something before I read, if I may, real quickly. I did take some of this from a fandom, but I do want to just say that the story came from the source of the three pillars, the dragons, ghost dragons, the felling of the dragons. The dragons choose themselves, and the hero status is sword, or the sacred girl of the hidden, were all original ideas and concepts of mine. I did take the author's note, some of the fandom ideas from The Legend of Zelda. I love this picture, and here's where it goes. The dragon trees of the Windwalker Karak. In the desolate age of swords of three pillars, is the felling of the green seer dragon trees. They lived among the Windwalker Karak race, deep in hidden forests of the Great Dooku Tree. It was said that the Karaks once took human form, but nearing after the time of the seven stages, Ganondorf and the Great Flood shifting settled to the wooden people with faced masks of leaf. Olive corals of moss blooming like green orchids, a mahogany plate, an echo of features faint, with coy shadow smiles and a hollow almond eye. Clover skins without yellow light or violet gleam. The green seer dragon trees wove the present, the past, and the future into the fabric of existence. For they were once whisperers of the Triforce and sacred keepers of the ghost dragon legend. But when the swords of the three pillars arose, when land was scorched and Karak forest was ravaged, dragon trees were cut down, and sounds of metal and stone dancing in flame. The Karak folk wept, for they were powerless, still against the brooding land licked with sorrow. But there was one who gathered seed and soil under the cloak of darkness and shield of hope. Alone he journeyed in the breath of the fire pillar and fog, past drying bones and forgotten things, into the lost woods surrounding Karak village, the keeper of seed and soil, of dragon tree. And if you know where to find his sacred grove, hidden from the doom and surges of Hyrule, you will find the long-spent stone, stolen souls, the ancestors thought lost in chaos and greed, the dragon trees of the Windwalker Karak. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. And I am picturing you sitting there trying to go to bed and this story running around your head, and no wonder you couldn't sleep. This is amazing. And my goodness, a couple of times I almost had tears, especially I'm trying to find oh, I hate when that happens. But when the swords of three pillars arose, when lands were scorched and forest was ravaged, the dragon trees were cut down, a sound of metal and stone dancing in flames. The Cork folk wept, for they were powerless still against the brooding land, licked by with sorrow. Oh, my goodness. It was like heartbreaking, the thought of, those dragon trees, you know, I was sort of invested in them. This is such an amazing story. And if you know where to find his sacred grove, hidden from the doom and scourges of Hyrule, you will find the long since sown stolen souls, the ancestors thought lost in chaos and greed. I love the full circle back to the fact that hidden in there, they're there. Just sadly had to keep them away from prying eyes, but they're there, and the joy from them and the beauty from them and the dragons from them go on. You absolutely told a storybook tale with your words from this photo. There are many beautiful pictures that I find that scream sky to me, but this one, it was like there's no way that I can let anybody see this before her, because there's no way she could scroll past this no matter how many other beautiful pictures I put up. I'm glad you didn't scroll past it, because this is gorgeous and my new favorite by you. Totally blew it away. Love it.
Thank you.
And before I get another comment, I have Frank in the studio. Let's say hi to Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
Welcome
there
to the show.
Hello there. It's good to be on. Hello there, Wayne.
I'm sorry. I don't know how long you were there. Did you get to hear Sky read?
Yes, I was able to hear, I would say, the 3/4 of the poem. Do you want me to comment on it now?
Sure, please.
Oh, all right. First of all, I wasn't aware of, this is very intellectual here, I mean, you so much in the notes here. I wasn't aware of this, I would say, the reference that you provide here to the story here. It's very compelling. I thought the piece was a superb usage of metaphors and the imagery. It was colorful. The narrative was just brilliant as well. And, of course, all the details you provided in AP really did give me a sense of what this tale was inspired by. So I thought it was just an incredible writer. And to be inspired from this particular prompt here, you added a lot of elements there of your own creativity. So it was a very good piece. Great job.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Lady A, will you comment for Sky?
Well, you know, Sky, you have such a fantastic gift of imagination. That's the word that I can attach to you the most, is imagination. And I think it's sparked by the many books that you read, of course, but you have, you know, everybody can read a book, but with your poetry, you make those words and that imagination of yours makes everything come alive. And I was really quite taken by a great many things in this poem, but we're really, I love that you mentioned the Windwalker. I wrote a poem actually about the Windwalker and a while back, and I really love that you put that into this piece, along with your dragon trees and your ghost dragon. And Korok Forest was ravaged as the dragon trees were cut down, a sound of metal and stone dancing in flames. And, you know, and the Korok folk wept. And I I feel that when I read this, and I think it's a sadness that we all need to be aware of and to be more conscious of, that this is what's happening around the world as we're losing our forests. And but I think you really made it very personal, but by using these bits of characters, but and true to life characters, for lack of a better word right now. I thought this was really beautiful and well done, and I think that I hope you never stop reading, and I hope you always write the way that you do with your storytelling and your imagination. It's fantastic.
Thank you, Andrea. It was meant to be a story of deforestation, and this one's actually set, this setting is from a video game, so I do.
Wow.
Oh, there you go. You
shouldn't tell that secret. The story is original, but it took the land, and the Korok folk is from Zelda, so it's from the concepts of video games, but I spun out a different story that was my own into it. So that one, the book don't get the credit this time. That's what the video game is.
Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Awesome. And Linda, comment, please. Linda, are you muted?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry, Sky. Your story was very brilliant. It was very thrilling and heartbreaking. The imagery was fantastic, showing the forest trees as they were. I love that you brought such hope into the story at the end. And sometimes hearts can conquer all and save the world. But you have a verse here, but when the swords of the three pillars arose, when lands were scorched and Korok forest was ravaged, the dragon trees were cut down, a sound of metal and stone dancing in flames. That is so descriptive. It just so kind of hurt my heart to think of our forests being destroyed like that. But I really like at the end how you brought that hope into the story, because that's all we have is hope. And you did a really fine job on this. Thank you, Sky.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Now, I'm going to have Wayne comment and then read his, but before he does, Sky, do you have show or shows that you want to push?
I have one this Saturday. I have a pog party going on. So if you want to go back to the 90s and celebrate pogs, you don't have to write about pogs themselves. Just you can write about the picture on a pog. Some of them have a nostalgia picture. If you remember Elf or Power Rangers, or there's some other like really like Skullheads, you know, really dark and creative, whatever you want. Or you can be super creative and maybe write the journey onto the pog itself. So maybe it was in someone's pocket, maybe it was on someone's desk, who knows. But yeah, you have to pick them, so you should go over there and pick what you want before they all get taken. And so,
I got mine.
Thank you.
And Wayne, will you comment for Sky and then read your poem for us, please?
Yes, I will. And I got mine too. And yeah, but what you write and read these stories that you tell, Sky, that make them so realistic, and you keep the reader, the listener, involved in so much. Every time I hear you read, I'm thinking that I'm going to hear a violin in the background, start playing violin music, and it's just kind of, you just keep everybody kind of hypnotized to the story. And this is a great poem of tragedy where the trees all got killed off, and then it just turned into a survival story where they got planted in a hidden place and thrive again. It's a great storyline and a great read and great emotion in it. I liked it a whole lot.
Thank you. I wrote so many tree poems for Deb, I started a new fire called Freedom.
Oh.
Oh, right. This is my poem I wrote after this, looking at this lovely picture, and it made kind of alliteration, just because I felt like doing that. It's called A Scene to See, and it goes like this. Shamrock-shadowed hills seem to be a soft, silent theme. Clear cobalt sky reflection, dance on gentle aquamarine. Sun's goldenrod rays sprinkle living love for days. Eagle eyes evergreen every evening, expecting praise. Pretty pearls of ice clean the clover cliffs so nice. Fancy flamingo flowers splash fluorescent fingers twice. Manatee mountain shadow mixed with mocha mist. In between indigo and lavender, lilac lake softly kiss. Warm winter weather wilts with springtime sangria sight. May maze of melon moon give great glow at night, till purple passion peacefully pretends to prevail. While secret skies wait with tomorrow's tumbly tale. I freely float, finding forests firmly, fighting fires. Brush, bright blessed blades, burning blackberry bush for hours. Toward temperature toast, thistle trees turning to ash. Cocoa-covered canopy, crisp cremation, fail with crash. Beauty born beauty born by birth of Earth's eloquent environmental effects. Sun supplies strong solar diet, deterring damaging defects. Lovely lady, lovely lake lives long, luxurious life like a little lady left alone. Future finds forest friends, frolicking freely in fabulous ferns grown. In.
Wow. You're killing me here. I mean, this is like, wow, so many tongue twisters, but the images, the sights and sounds, and what a treat for the senses, Wayne. I freely float, finding forests firmly, fighting fires, bright blush blazes burn, blackberry brush for hours. You know, this is quite incredible. I can't believe that you managed to pack this with like alliteration. You got us smiling, whether you're trying to make a joke or you're trying to just write. Line after line after line. This must have taken a while. Wow. And it. What did you? You didn't just say it didn't, did you?
No, I didn't say that. It took a little while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, because I mean, it shows. It's not as easy as it seems sometimes to do so many sounds, let alone every single line. But it not seem forced or like gibberish. This is really, really awesome. I enjoyed it. And where was the lovely ladies? Wasn't there some ladies in here? So, the thing was, you just kept slamming me with image after image. Here we go. The lovely lush lake lives. Oh no, that's not a lady. Maybe there was no lady.
Yeah, it is. It's at the end of it. That's a long
Okay, there we go. There's long, luxurious life like little ladies left alone. Man, and like you read it so beautifully. I'm struggling here with some of the twisters. This is really incredible. The images are off the hook. The concept, you're a rock star. This is really, really great, Wayne. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
Let me get you some comments. Let me start with Sky.
Yeah, what's the power to? I'm not trying to say this. I thought it was wonderfully done. I really, really enjoyed it. I think it's wonderful.
You're breaking up.
Sorry. Yeah, she is.
Can you hear me now? I can hear you better.
There you are.
I just love alliteration. I think it's such a brilliant poetic device to use, and when you use it in a setting like this, and with the nuance of just hitting after hit after hit after hit, and you create this masterpiece of alliteration and helps your skills in those bits and smalls, and then all of a sudden you're just doing it naturally. And I love exercises like this. But with the Manatee Mountain shadows mixed with mocha mist, oh, my goodness. Frank rapped for me the other night some J.R.R. Tolkien poems, and I kind of want to hear him rap this now because
Manatee Mountain shadows mixed with mocha mist. There you go.
quite brilliant way to put together, and it just really leaps off your tongue. And it's not just a bunch of words. So I think sometimes when people delve into like an alliteration piece like this, where there's so much of it that and loses the essence of what it's supposed to be or the story that it's supposed to be, because the emphasis is on the wording and not so much where you're going. And yet you don't do that. You do not lose the story. You don't lose the sense by trying to find words that fit, which I think is a really hard balance to do. And I think you did it brilliantly, and this was wonderfully done. And I'd love to hear you read it, just because you have like this lyrical lilt in your voice, and it fits well with the rhyme paired with the alliteration. Really well done.
What a comment. Great comment.
Awesome comment. And before I get the next one, let's say hello to Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet.
Hi, Sweet.
Hello there, Sweet. Hello there.
Hello, everyone. Hello, hello.
Thrilled you are here.
How is everyone?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing well. Glad to be here.
That's sweet.
Hello.
Very glad you're here. I am
Poetic
just...
Peace.
Oh, I was just going to ask you. I don't know when you got here. Do you want to comment for Wayne?
Beautiful. Brilliant. I loved it. I mean, alliteration is one of my favorite things to do, and I think you just naturally nailed it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I love the laugh. Yeah, it's gorgeous. I love lovely lush lakes, lives long, luxurious life, like little lady left alone. I think that's one of my favorite lines.
That's a great voice.
Awesome comment. Thank you, Sweet. And how about we get a comment from Dave, please?
Yeah, I really like this. I had to agree with what everybody else said about it, and especially what Sky said about, you know, putting all of this alliteration together like this and, you know, finding the words that you want to use that make sense instead of just shotgunning the poem with, you know, words that have the same letters that start out on the front of the word. I freely float, finding forest, firmly fighting fires. I like that. In fact, there's not any of this that stands out any above any of the rest of it. It's all excellent. I've never tried this before. This is interesting. So anyway, I thought you did a hell of a job on this, Wayne. It was interesting. I liked the way you read it and made it more fun to hear. And you just did a hell of a job on it. Well
done. Thank you. I did practice a little bit.
Welcome. Yeah, I can see why.
Awesome comment. And I was just going to say, Linda, will you comment for Wayne and then read your poem, please?
Sure. Wonderful, wacky words, Wayne, showing sophisticated scenery so special. You definitely did a distinctful duty on this poem. I love the alliteration. You did such a fine job on that. But your poem was flawless. The alliteration was wonderfully done, and your descriptions of nature were so smooth, loving, great use of color bank and word bank. This poem was just a wonderful thing to read. Thanks for sharing it, Wayne.
Well, I appreciate all y'all's comments. A great comment.
Awesome comment. And if you refresh, yours is on the board.
Okay, let me see. Let's get it.
Misty Waters.
Hello.
Yep, I'm here.
Hello. Oh, okay.
Hi.
There we go. Okay, this is what I got from this, so I hope I don't, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, I hope everybody likes it. It's called Misty Waters. Lord, as the misty waters flow through the corners of my mind, I yearn for you. As the moss grows cool on the indigo rocks, I pray for your comfort. With every sunrise of flamingo and yellow, to each sunset of tangerine and pomegranate red, I honor your holiness in my heart. You are my salvation. When I look out on the turquoise and cobalt sea, I see your vastness and tears fall from my eyes. Fill me with your grace, my beloved Father. Anoint me with the Holy Spirit and cleanse my sins. Heal me, Father, from this body and soul. Send me light in the colors of violet and green that will wash over me and make well what is ailing. As I walk, walk with me. Show me your will. Lead me through clouds of lavender over hills of clover to the promised land, as I am a light eternal. Amen. In poem.
Wow. Tons and tons of beautiful visual all through it. And it does read like a prayer. Fill me with your grace. Heal my body, my soul. Very gorgeous. And then to close it out with amen also drives home the fact that it's like a poem, I mean a prayer, like you could have been reading this from a prayer book, just with a few extra colors. And, you can't ever tell how someone is going to react when they see a vision or a sight before their eyes. The eye of the beholder comes out, and you could definitely tell that you were moved by the photo and by the words and by the feel that it brought out in you. Beautiful, right?
When I saw the prompts, I thought, oh, this is going to be difficult. And then I saw this one. I wrote this in about 3 minutes. I saw the picture, and I put myself in meditation, and it just flowed right there. And I don't usually write things like this. This was totally a gift from my father. So I hope I didn't offend anybody with it.
Totally. I'm sure you didn't. Sweet, will you comment for Linda, please?
Mute.
Maybe she can't right now.
No, maybe she's on mute and can't get herself together. Sorry about that. I said the colors are perfections that praise the picture, and the language you use makes the picture as spiritual as the land itself. I thought it was absolutely, right on and beautiful, Linda. As always, you bring it.
Right on. Thank you, sweetheart.
Awesome comment. And how about Lady A, please?
I don't know why you would ever apologize for writing this piece that you've written. I think that, and it was almost like it's meant to be, not almost, it was meant to be, Misty Waters. I think that this piece is, I think, we celebrate a lot of things. We celebrate, we cheer and screech and howl at football games, baseball games, racing, all this kind of stuff, the Olympics. And this is something that you are, this is your football team. This is your, you are the cheerleading squad of your faith. And I think that how could we be offended by you praising the Lord for giving you your misty waters, for giving you life and rebirth? I think this is a beautiful piece coming from the very depths of you, a very personal piece that we all need to actually get back to. And I think you did a beautiful job, and I think I there's nothing to apologize for. If somebody's offended by this, they need to go sit somewhere else and enjoy the dark, I guess. I don't know, but I think we need to be able to speak our faith and our beliefs in a way that is certainly, this is beautifully done, and it's beautifully shared, and I think that somebody somewhere, maybe even in this group, may read this over and over again and realize that they would long to have that same sort of salvation. So I'm going to leave it there. I thought it was gorgeous, and it was a beautiful prayer and a beautiful bit of praise, and I think it was wonderful.
Thank you, Lady A.
Well,
that was sweet.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Dave? How about
you? Well, when you look at this, when you look at this scene, or even when I walk out into the woods and look at this stuff, it brings words like Linda's put down here into your consciousness. It makes you realize how insignificant you are, at the same time how lucky you are that you get to experience this beauty and be a part of it, you know. And I agree with what Lady A said about if people don't like this or they're offended by it, then there's something wrong with them, because there's nothing to be ashamed about in this at all. There's nothing that needs to be apologized for. I think it's beautiful. It's what you saw, and it's words in your heart, and you have a right to express that. So at least that's what I always thought. So I thought you did a hell of a job with it. It's great.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comments, everyone. And I don't want anybody that's listening to think that she expected that she might get bashed or something for writing religion, or that we thought that she might have offended someone or anyone. It's just normally we don't cover politics and religion, but sometimes you just can't help what a poem inspires you to write, and she was just saying it because she knows usually cover it. Taking nothing away from the gorgeousness of the poem that she wrote. I just didn't want anybody to think that there was any chance we were going to be mad at her for being moved. Just saying.
Right, right.
That was my disclaimer for tonight. Gorgeous poem. And if
you
refresh the board, you can go ahead and click on Gerald's recording. And on deck I have Frank, then Sweet. So,
and I have one just... I have one too, Deb. I'm just gonna put it in the room.
Okay, I was gonna say I keep checking for it. I figured you were trying to finish one up. Okay, so if you check on Gerald, I will push. Click on Gerald, and I will push play.
Invitation, written and read by Gerald Green. I stood on the pavement and looked down the path, tempted to discover its secrets and beauty in one of Florida's oldest state parks. The loop I was walking in the brisk morning air was made for us joggers, with our own well-marked lane that curved through the jungle around moss-covered trees. A saddle is what they call this large piece of land, stretching between two densely packed forests filled with life, thriving with beauty. What isn't green is coffee-colored in pools that form in frequent depressions, slowly rotting the vegetation they cover. Wild oranges ripening on branches and blossoms of yellow and red amongst the thistles greet observant travelers at every turn. Violets at the base of mahogany trees invite the weary to feel its comfort, where anxiety turns into a lasting peace. Summer will bring rain and cover the ground, creating a wetland, a swamp with a gentle current seeping toward the Gulf of Mexico. The lazy river in its midst beckons lovers and manatee, tempting with reflections and a flow that slows one's breathing with its mood of intimacy. But this is January, and I can see my breath as I ponder the tempting path before me, wondering what lies beyond the curve. Its width makes the view all the more pleasant. The gravel seems packed and the edges well-defined as it enters the forest and tropical intrigue. Excitement stirs, releasing adrenaline, tensing my core and increasing my pulse, pumping fear through old but healthy geriatric arteries. Would gators be hungry this time of day? And how close to the river is this path further in? Are questions that warn my cautious demeanor. Wrens and robins fill the air with music, announcing another day of life to enjoy in this wonderland of jungle designed to explore. But I turned and continued my walk on the loop, rejecting another suitor. While I traveled in circles, a pattern repeated for the last 30 years. End poem.
Awesome. Before I comment, let's say hello to AP. Hey.
Hello, Deb. How are you?
Hanging in there.
AP.
Glad you called. Good to hear from
you. Well, I thought I'd... Thank you. Good to be here.
And I'm just about to comment
Hi,
for Gerald.
AP. Hi, Deb.
So, Gerald is an amazing poet, and he and night after night, show after show, and he always impresses with his poetry. I love the images that he used in this one, like with the violets at the base of the mahogany trees, or the scents that you can almost smell in the wild oranges ripening on branches, the lazy river in its midst beckons lovers a manatee, tempting with reflections and a flow that slows one's breathing with its mood of intimacy. I love the turn it took there. And down further, would gators be hungry this time of day? So then you're thinking, uh-oh, wait a minute. So the mood changed quite often through the different... But the images kept you wanting more, kept wanting to know what was coming next. Excitement stirs, releasing adrenaline, tensing my core and increasing my pulse, pumping fear through old but healthy geriatric arteries. And it's sort of like making fun of himself there because he's used the term geriatric before for a bit of a giggle there. But they're old but healthy, so you gotta love that part. And then at the end, but I turned and continued my walk on the loop, rejecting another suitor while I traveled in circles, a pattern repeated for the last 30 years. I never, like I said it in the beginning, I never know what you're gonna bring, but it's always impressive. Thank you so much. You always contribute, and it's always stellar. Let me get you some comments. How about if I get a comment from Sweet, please?
As you said, I think he's absolutely amazing, and I, first off, I love the picture he chose, and I'm looking for a saddle is what they call this large piece of land stretching between densely packed forests filled with life and thriving with beauty. First off, I didn't know that, so that's pretty cool. He brings so much every time you said, like you said. First off, this is actually a longer poem, so I can, the way he talks about walking through this and the music and, you know, everything about this is, you know, everything you tell us about poetry is not to tell is, you know, to feel it. You actually feel what you're doing, and that's why, like he's asked, when he talks about the gators and everything like that. So it's the feeling, the touch, the sound, the everything I can feel like I'm there in that poem. And that's one of the things I really like about Gerald is he's just not talking about or reading a poem. I'm in the poem. And I think that's fabulous and what I really like about it.
Fabulous comment. And AP, I don't know when you got there. Did you get to hear him read?
I did. Yeah, I got the vast majority of it, which is great. And the really great thing about Gerald is that it sort of captures that sense of a river sort of lazing along and going through a place like this forest, and sort of it takes you with him, and he's your eyes as you turn around. And I just love the way that he uses his descriptive language to explain what he's seeing and what's there, and he's very skilled at it, and you really feel good if you're there, and that's what great writing's about.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And Lady A, please.
Yes. I just hang on a second because I've lost my way. I think that Gerald Green has a calming effect with his poetry. Not only does he write so beautifully, but he writes in a way that makes, you know, the littlest thing, the most simple thing, become a grand artistic creation, if you will. And so he's done that with your word bank and this picture. I thought it was, you know, where he's violets at the base of mahogany trees invite the weary to feel its comfort, where anxiety turns into lasting peace. Just really a beautiful piece of imagery throughout the whole poem. And he's a designer of imagery, I think, in his way. Simplicity with the beauty that's attached to it is just, he's a unique writer in that way. I really liked it.
Great comment. And how about if I get a comment from Wayne, please?
Yes, this is a very descriptive poem he has here, and you can feel the picture that he's talking about. It's so descriptive, and he's talking about how you can jog through. He's perfect for jogging through the land. He covered the flowers, the birds, the trees, and the seasons. It's perfectly in this poem, and I can feel it and smell the picture he painted. It's a great job, and he's very good at describing stuff. Great job.
Awesome comment. Okay. And let me see here. Frank, you're the next reader, so will you comment for Gerald first, please?
Yes, by all means. I thought this was a wonderful illustration here, what a prominent it would be. It just seems enticing when I think of what he's talking about. He brings in such colorful imagery here, very descriptive piece of nature here. I really enjoyed this. Was very intricate here. It's a very, I would say, it's also, I agree with AP, it's very skilled writing here. You know, it's not easy to write this type of writing, which he does consistently, and he does he puts a lot of effort into it as well. So this was just a superb writing, very creative, because all his pieces are.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And yours is on the board.
This is a piece here I wrote here. It's called Memories of Air, and it goes like this. I have found the secret place in a magical world. The turquoise waterfall of the gushing wine, orchids, cherries, violets, once blossomed, below the periwinkle sky and the celestial angels. A virginal green of the moss on hickory trees, sheltering the bustling ferns in the clover, beside the mahogany branches and trunks in the arbor leaves and copper pebbles. The tang of the waft I smell through my nose. I discover the beauty of nature's wonders. amidst the sounds of an orchestra playing the devoted hymns of lyrical harmony. The hope of a fresh morning, I strow in leisure upon the brazen wind, rustling the staid leaves and awaiting the gentle ripples of the currents, whilst the scarlet roses carry memories of air. End of poem.
Gorgeous. Now, for starters, I have to say, when you have a periwinkle sky and celestial angels and this much imagery, how can you go wrong in a poem? Gorgeous. And let me see. As I discover the beauty of nature's wonders amidst the sound of an orchestra playing the devoted hymns of lyrical harmonies, that's gorgeous. That's actually my favorite spot aside from the periwinkle skies. And then the hope of a fresh morning, I stroll in leisure. So I like that it's like you're in there on the walk and you found a seat and it's magical, and then you take us on that walk with you and the journey is filled with images and lyrical harmonies. And this is a very, very beautiful write for a gorgeous photo. Great job, Frank. And I love the title, too.
Ward is it's a word, another word for a forest. So that's why I just had it in there because of the, I love the word, and of course the structure of the poem, for, it fitted in with that word there. So ward is just another word for forest. And air is before, if those who are not aware of what it meant.
Awesome. And Linda, will you comment for Frank, please?
I sure will. Frank, that was so beautiful. Your forest is a lovely place to be in. The imagery was cool and soothing, along with the metaphoric touch in the middle. As I discover the beauty of nature's wonders amidst the sounds of an orchestra playing the devoted hymns of lyrical harmonies. Very lovely work. I just loved how you traveled through this forest and took us along with you. And the last verse is very beautiful too. The hope of a fresh morning, I stroll in leisure upon the bracing winds, rustling the staid leaves and awakening the gentle ripples of the currents, whilst the scarlet roses carry memories of air. Very beautifully written. I think you did a stellar job on this, Frank. Good work.
Well, I appreciate that, my dear. Yeah, thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And David, how about you?
Oh, this was really nice. I really felt like I was walking along with Frank. You know, we're just hanging out in the woods, walking down this path, and he really brought the forest into the poem, and I thought he did a really good job with the word bank and the colors. I like the last stanza. The hope of a fresh morning, I stroll in leisure upon the bracing winds, rustling the staid leaves and awakening the gentle ripples of the currents, whilst the scarlet roses carry memories of air. That last stanza there makes you feel good. At least it does me. The whole thing made me feel good, but this last stanza kind of wrapped it up, I thought, for me anyway. And there's so much in this, right? He brings in the smells, not only the beauty of the sights there, but he brings in the smells, and you can actually feel some of the breezes and stuff in the forest. It's a very, very well described poem, and part of our job as a writer is to bring the subject to the reader, so and put them in there, and that's exactly what he did here. So well done.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Martin. I would hope everyone could please take a good jaunt or a good stroll in the woods. It's a refreshing thing. Breathe some fresh nature as well.
Yeah, I agree.
And it could have been a whole completely different walk through that woods if that ended with maniacal laughter. Just saying.
Oh, so, there we go. Well, you have to take my smile.
Sweet, will you come
up with
Frank and then read, please?
Yeah, I kind of found the poem to be almost mystical, as if I was looking between the land of man and fantasy. When you talk about, as I discovered the beauty of nature's wonders, I missed the sounds of an orchestra playing the devoted hymns of lyrical harmonies. It was almost like you described all the beauty, and yet there was this little effect that, you know, maybe there was something more going on, the hymns and the lyrical harmonies, as if you were looking into the land of fairies and imps and gnomes and something like behind that waterfall. So I really kind of looked into that and was hearing all this other, you know, other things that were going on in your imagery and your sights and your sounds.
Indeed,
was,
that waterfall,
you know,
that waterfall was the inspiration. There you go. Thank you very
awesome
much.
Awesome comment. And Sweet, yours is on the board, if you would take us away.
Okay.
Wait.
Okay. So this is Heartbeats. Ice blue spigots drip teardrops of azure water down the backs of the two brothers, clothed in tie-dyed, multicolored shades of blackberry and gunmetal stone. Mount Olympus, droplets flow from audible eye sockets of skeletons buried in blush-covered mounds of snow. Droplets bind into waterways that free-fall into fantastical form. Waterways weave a tapestry of life through the botanical forest, green grass, hanging olive moss, lavender wildflowers thrive. It quenches the thirst of flora and fauna, guides humankind to survival. In the valley of the giants, water calls out to the sun and to the moon to help them care for the ancient trees, the big leaf maple, black cottonwood, Douglas fir, and the red cedar. Silent tongues of the cougar and the bobcats drink as black bears splash about to fish and play, and a tiny cobalt frog and a spotted owl observe it all. Deep inside these greenish walls, below the branch canopies, behind the sounds of the ocean waves and swishing leaves, listen to the heartbeat of the forest thump, thump, dying, dying. Save our forest. It's up to me. And boom.
Wow. Wow, Sweet. Wow. I actually got some chills at the end there when you got to that forest heart EKG dump, dump. I'm like, whoa. And then to end it with me. Wow. Now, you know, on a side note, I sort of expected you to take this photo, but only because I believe that your grandchild either found a rock or a leaf that was shaped like a heart and gave it to you, so I thought that
would
catch your eye. Yeah. But I like that you put Mount Olympus in there. I like the images that you put in there. In the valley of the giant, water calls out to the sun and to the moon to help him care for the ancient trees. I think that's brilliant. It gives it a legend, like the feel of reading from a legend, and your images and stuff. Silent tongues of bears and bobcats drink as black bears splash about to fish and play, and a tiny frog and a spotted owl observe it all. I think that the images that you brought all through this was already brilliant. And then to turn it around and give it the twist of that EKG thump, of the dying forest, of the ripping an overwhelming thought of that. Hell of a way to wrap it up and make it advocating for, you know, only you can stop forest fires. It's like you were standing there next to Smokey the Bear telling us all that, you know, it's up to you. This is brilliant. I love it. Wow. Okay, let me see. How about you, Dave Prophet?
Oh, boy. You know, I'm glad you called on me, Deborah, because this poem really brought up a whole bunch of memories from me. We have an area up in here called the Bull Run Watershed, and it is an area that they won't let anybody into. And so there's wildlife up there that's not even afraid of humans because some of them I don't suppose have even seen it. And you can go up Lola Pass Road, and on the left-hand side, there's a little waterfall that looks almost identical to this banner picture, and so that reminded me of that. I, too, like the reference of Mount Olympus droplets from orbital eye sockets of skeletons buried in blue, blush-colored mounds of snow, droplets bind into water highways that pre-fall into fantastic form. That last line there is really, really cool. I like the way it reads. In the Valley of Giants, water calls out to the sun and to the moon to help him care for the ancient trees, big leaf maple, black cottonwood, Douglas fir and red cedar. We have a lot of Douglas fir and red cedar out here where I live. So that waved at me too. Silent tongues of cougars and bobcats drink as black bears splash about to fish and play, and a tiny cobalt frog and spotted owl observes it all. That stanza right there, we have a lot of bobcats and cougars and bears out here. The whole thing just really resonated with me, and the way she put this together is just amazing. And then the last stanza down here brings it all back around and makes us realize that it's up to each one of us to make aware of how beautiful the woods are, you know. And I like it. She says, save our forest. It's up to me. It's up to her. It's up to me. And it's up to everybody. We're all poets. We have a gift of description and a way of making people look at it. And I think we should use that to exemplify the beauty in this poem right here and in our national parks. I think it's excellent, excellent work, Pam. Just really
well
done.
Thank you. And just to let everybody know, there is also a mountain range in the forest called the Two Brothers, the Brothers.
Mm. Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, and Wayne, will you comment for Sweet?
Yes, I will. You brought the spirit of the wilderness to life in this poem here, which I like the way you looked at it. The eye sockets of the skeletons, the guide of humankind's survival, the valley of the giants, helping the moon create care for the ancient trees, silent tongues of the cougars and bobcats, and then the forest stump. It's all come alive. You just got a living creature here, and it's demanding for us to assist it. And the way you did this is just beautiful, the way you approached it. It's a great poem, and it got a great meaning, and it's just lovely all the way through. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne, very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And AP, will you comment for Sweet and then read your poem for us,
mm-hmm.
please?
Sure. I really like this one, Sweet. And I think it was because, I mean, everybody's gone to the same stanza, actually, the cougars and bobcats and bears and fish and frogs and owls, and it just sort of feels as if you're sort of there surrounded by it all. And I don't know why, it just sort of comes together beautifully in that stanza. I just really enjoyed it. So it just it's a real natural sense and feel to it.
Thank you, AP.
Hey, Deb, can I comment before AP reads?
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Sweet, you know, what's interesting is this is the this picture of your prompt is the beginning of the picture. If you look at my prompt of the waterfall coming out of the hill with the misty water, that stone is in my prompt as well. So we're kind of like kindred spirits as we, because I almost chose this one besides mine.
Very cool.
But, yeah, I thought that was very cool. But you have so many fantastic verses in this, and I don't want to be redundant, but silent tongues of cougars and bobcats drink as black bears splash about to fish and play, and a tiny frog and a spotted owl observe it all. I love that the tiny little frog is sitting there watching that massive bear splash in the water to get fish. That is just so cool. But I think your poem was absolutely lovely, my darling. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Pete, take it away.
Okie dokie. Well, I put it up on the board. This is to number seven, image number seven. This is a shamble of lime, and it goes a little bit like this. Through a shamble of fluorescent lime, intertwine aged branches swept by fur. Ferns spur a trail towards beds of grime. In water's design, green blush will defer. The pearl of swamp and blush of sunshine combines to produce rich grape moss. With a toss of olive and distant rays wine aligns amongst this deep forest of loss. Grotto seen alive in hues of celery lest, best carve off stalks of stored ice cold, and in a bold emerald we find blessed, sage yellow, behest upon blue mould, in poem.
Wowza. Deb? We lost Deb?
Lost Deb.
Oh.
Deb?
Can cannon
we lost
string.
Deb. Well,
that's
all right, JP.
Phone.
All right.
I'm sorry. You know what happened? I switched phones. And I'm talking, and I'm talking, and I'm like, I unmute,
yeah.
But it does help if I unmute myself in the studio as well, which I have done now. But I was here the whole time. But I was going on and on about how the image of the branches being swept up in fur is spot on, because they really do look like you could pet them, like they were a cross between hairy dinosaurs and aliens. But I love the way you use the colors with, like, the pearl of swamp and blush of sunshine combined to produce rich grape moss. So you didn't use a oh, you did. Look at all those colors. Wow. Sometimes I start to not recognize my crayon box anymore because so many of us are using all the crayons. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with it. The grotto seen alive in hues of celery left, best carve off stalks as stored ice cold. You always have such a clever way of wording things and bringing us into this photo and coloring it with rhyme and flow. The fade yellow behest upon blue mold. And it shouldn't sound so beautiful, but it does. I think that you painted quite a beautiful picture in your three stanzas. So the brevity between all the words from the word bank and then your own, it's not a lot of words, but it is a lot of impact and vibrant images. So I think you did great, as always. And I'm really happy you
Thank
called.
You.
And let me Thank get you some comments. I will go to, where am I on this list? Frank, please.
Yes, I have to say, first of all, it's another exception, a piece here. This, the rhyming scheme is impeccable here, very well structured here. But I enjoyed the whole notion of the colorful imagery of this poem here, fluorescent lime, the way you incorporate a lot of colors in this here, the moss here as well, the grotto. These are very greenish colors here. You throw in the celery as well. You've got a lot of green, mostly green colors, but you also incorporate a kaleidoscope of other colors here. And I really like this notion there of, like with most of these pieces here, with the prompts, there is a mystic feeling as well for these pieces here, because you almost get the notion that we are actually with you or actually on the journey, on a trek there or a promenade to some certain extent. With each and one of these poems here accidentally provided just wonderful just writings inspired by this prompt and the other prompts as well. Deb, you did a great job on the prompts, and AP, you did a great job on this piece here.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Sweet?
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed this. I agree with you, though. I think they look more like aliens than trees. But I like grotto seems alive. They use that carbon foxes as stored in ice cold. I think you did a great, brilliant job with the imagery and just describing them. Through a shamble of fluorescent lime, because they are a shamble. So even I think without the picture, I would have thought this was chaos and an interesting swamp vision. So as usual, AP, this is just kind of brilliant chaos from you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, please.
Yes, this was a great, great little poem you wrote there. Well, I went through the picture and I seen fluorescent lime, and as you started reading it, I watched the picture change right before my eyes into a totally different view. It's great, and your poem is perfectly balanced, great rhyme, and it's just a very colorful and beautiful poem you wrote there. I like it a whole lot, AP. Good job.
No, thank you, Juan. Cheers.
Awesome comment. And Linda, please. Linda, are you muted?
Sorry, I was eating yogurt, so I didn't want to bother you guys. Anyway, lovely writing, AP. You used your color bank righteously to bring wonderful imagery to this poem. Very warm and alive with color and also with love. I think you did a fantastic job. Thanks, AP, for sharing.
Thank you, Linda. Cheers.
Awesome comment. And then Lady A, will you come in for AP and then read your poem for us?
Sure. AP, I loved what you did with this, with the color, the olive colors and the celery and that route that you took with this picture and the word and the color bank. I really loved the last verse too, the grotto scene alive in hues of celery, left best carved off stalks as stored ice cold within a bold emerald we find blessed fades yellow behest upon blue mold. Now I'm just going to guess that this is real celery with blue cheese on it. That's what I got out of that last little bit, but I thought it was I thought this was really well done, and I found it very soothing for some reason. Really, I enjoyed it very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lydia.
Awesome.
Was it blue cheese?
And I assume your break is over, but I'm thrilled that you called.
No, thanks, Deb. Good to be here. And I think we're I've got some commitments coming up, but we'll talk no doubt. But thanks for the prompts, and it was good fun.
No, we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks again, Deb. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, AP. And Lady A, you can take us away.
Yes. Mine is called Reverence, and here's how it goes. Ferns of green carpeted the floor, woven with goldenrod and shamrock moss, adorns the majestic mahogany trees. Standing guard with arms outstretched, protecting arbor and earth, who once wore leaves, vines, and bled the sap of life. Asparagus, celery, and olive greens blend and bow to the winds that blow. Through dense foliage, indigo skies peek through, lending bits of light from brother sun's yellow rays and sister moon's silver ribbon rays. Quietly we trek each step place with reverence to the keepers of the land long past. Here's blanket leaves and grass, sprouts and trees as ancestors cry. Hallowed ground, voices chant, they plead we come back to the land. We will honor them, honor the earth, and pray for redirection. End poem.
Wow, what an ending. We will honor them, honor the earth, and pray for redirection. I don't often start with the very, very end, but that's a very powerful ending there. Ferns of green carpeted the floor, woven with goldenrod and shamrock moss, adorns the majestic mahogany trees. There are so many gorgeous images right there in the first two lines. And then you keep tickling the visuals with asparagus, celery, and olive green blend and bow to the winds that blow. The thought of the vegetation bowing is really, really a beautiful and enchanted thought there. Quietly we track each step placed with reverence, which is rarely the case, but the thought of it is the expression of well-stepped footsteps is like showing respect for the land. So the wording is brilliant. But like I said, I keep coming back to that closing line because it is a spectacular line. We will honor them, honor the earth, and pray for redirection. I really, really like where you took this from the first
Thank
line.
You.
From the title, actually, but the visuals are great, but the messages as well. So fantastic work!
Thank you very much.
Give me some comments. My pleasure. And let me get a comment for you from Linda, please.
Oh, I'm glad you picked me, Lady A. This was so beautiful. It was so full of heart and soul. The imagery was full of greens honoring the forest. This was a beautiful tribute to our lovely forests. You wrote such a beautiful piece here that made me feel in my heart. I just love this. Thank you for sharing it, Lady A.
Thank you very much, Linda. Thanks.
Awesome comment. And how about if I get a comment from Sweet, please?
Yes, I like quietly we track each step placed with reverence to the keepers of the land long past. I know how much you're into the Indian culture and the ancient people. I think that just paying tribute and all that, just the reverence put into this poem, just knowing you, and I think just kind of the emotion as you wrote, and I think that puts a lot of weight for me into this poem because I know how much you put into it, and I can just kind of feel you in it, and that's very special to me.
Oh, thank you so much. That's a very special comment, too. Appreciate it. Love you.
Love you.
Awesome comment. And did I let you comment, Linda?
Yes.
I did. Okay. I wasn't positive. Okay, now let me see here. Okay, Wayne had a mute. And all right, we are dwindling a little, and we have two recordings and two poems that I need readers for. So we'll get them done. And then I will have you two ladies push your shows coming up, and we'll get out of here. So click on Rory Known by My Words, and we will push that beautiful poem, Lady A. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
and let's listen to Momo now.
This summer, make a trip to the land where clovers reside with souls of flying rats, where thousands of years the embodied slowly enter and think it is as a haunted suicidal forest. New water goes violet on every 10 years, and black knights call the hanging feathers. You walk through the green, you hear the flute when the sun hides under scarlet sky. So dense the forest, so deep the water, the broken hearts bleed on standing trunks. The wine of grapes brings no more cures, and sending black pearls to take realize the summer. Do you wanna make a trip to an ox-blooded forest and see a ghostly rose? She is waiting there just for you. Will you be her feast in the next moonlit night?
Wow.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness. That was brilliant. And there was something
Momo.
In the tune that it was like there was something familiar about it. But, man, what a beautiful rendition. The suicidal forest is such a sad thought. This summer, make a trip to the land where clovers reside with souls of red wine. The water goes violet, and every 10 years, and black knights call the hanging feathers. You walk through the green, you hear the flute, and the sun hides under a scarlet sky. Wow. Totally unexpected, really. But it gave this photo life. It gave this photo history, and the singing was so sweet. And wow, I'm very impressed. And will you be her feast in the next moonlit night? Kind of leaves you with a scary thought there. Will you? This was really awesome. Well, I'm very impressed. The audio is great and appreciated, and you did an amazing job with your prompt. Thank you so much. Wow. Lady A, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was very different, and I thought it was creative too. And I liked the idea of her singing. It was like a chant with her singing to this prompt, and I thought she did a really good job, and it was hopeful in a lot of ways. But I thought that ultimately in the end, speaking about that one that's waiting there just for you, and you'll be her feast in the next moonlit night, it was just a really, it sounded too, because I've heard KB speak before, and I think in a very shy way, and I think this song and this poem almost it sounded so much different than before, and in that she seems to have come into her own, which I thought was a really good thing.
I totally agree. Awesome comment. Sweet,
yeah.
What did you think? My sweet. Oh, it dropped her. Dave Prophet, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was a beautiful poem, and I like the way she did that vocalization or stylings of vocal stylings on it. I thought it went over really well with the forest. So dense the forest, so deep the water, the broken hearts bleed on standing trunks. The wine of grapes bring no more cures, and sending black pearls to take away lives. It's just a real unique poem. I've never heard anything quite like it before, and I really have to say I like it a lot. It's an interesting trip that it sort of takes you on, grabs onto the reader and, you know, makes you want to stick with the whole thing. And I think it was really well done.
Awesome comment. And Linda, how about you?
I would love to. Momo, that was absolutely beautiful. I loved your voice in that. I like how you sang it. It gave it such character. Your poem is wonderful and powerful and spiritual and strong. There was great imagery and the metaphors were strong as well. And this whole thing was very chilling and colorful. You used the color bank well. Great story, Momo. I just loved how you portrayed this. Thank you for sharing.
Awesome comment. And now I'm sorry?
Was that a SoundCloud, or did she really
sing
that?
Yes, she sent us in a SoundCloud, yes.
Oh.
So here's what's left. I'm going to put on Phil's recording, and then I was hoping that Lady A would read for Crystal, and Linda could read for Iris, and then we're done. So if you guys would go ahead and click on Phil's, I will push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Beyond the Mahogany Bridge. Beyond the mahogany bridge lies my goldenrod dream, where I am able to touch the turquoise atmosphere with periwinkle blemishes of a longing hope running through these rustic scarred veins of aquamarine. A kamikaze tumbleweed takes a dive from the bridge, but the breeze raises it up to the butterscotch sun, disappearing behind the giant mantis-shaped clouds, while I breathe in the lavender and moss of summer, carrying a crate of root beer and caramel coffee with flakes of almond tingling the memory of childhood, bringing back nostalgic blackberry-picking adventures, gathering fruit from thistle-covered hedgerows. Now I walk this platinum platform to a new horizon, filled with shamrock fields, apple trees under denim skies, where the red wine flows in a pomegranate grows, with flamingo orchards dipped in cashmere raindrops. Olive-skinned beauty comes to meet me, greeting me with a mocker smile upon her face, dressed in an indigo tie-dye dress with lilac and pearl. Kisses me with lips that taste of sangria and toffee delight. Warm apricot evening invites the opal moon to highlight the lime green forest with its blushing glow, adding to the copper dusk the smell of hot cocoa, warming our hearts as we finally cross the bridge.
Aww.
End poem.
Wow. Wow. You know, okay, let's start with his voice and his pronunciation, with words like platinum. I'm quite taken by the different syllables that we put emphasis on when different areas pronounce words. And Phil's one of those people that pronounce it beautifully. Now I walk this platinum platform to a new horizon filled with shamrock fields, apple trees under denim skies, gorgeous visuals there, But of course, I wanted to because I can on my show, that closing stanza, the warm apricot evening invites the opal moon to highlight the lime green forest with its blushing glow, adding to the copper dusk the smell of hot cocoa, warming our hearts as we finally crossed the bridge. It was so image-filled, so beautiful, so tender. I think I can almost smell the hot cocoa. Bill,
yeah.
I'm sure you don't get tired of hearing this, but you did an absolutely brilliant job with this prompt. You always do. I'm so, so delighted still to get to hear your recordings. Everyone who makes the recordings, it's such a special treat to get to hear you when you can't call, but you take the time to make these recordings for us and sing for us or read for us and just share your creativity. I appreciate everyone, and it makes me feel so good to hear you read, because the enthusiasm in your voice when you read, everyone, the enthusiasm or the grit, or even the heartache, because you're actually feeling and making us feel, and that's therapeutic all the way around. And this was, I got off track for a minute, but this is an absolutely gorgeous piece. Another brilliant addition to the show, Phil. Thank you so much. Dave Prophet, read your inbox, please. And Lady A, you're the next reader. Linda, will you comment for Phil, please?
I sure will. You know, Phil is such a lovely writer, and he just gets better every week. It's a fabulous write, Phil. You capture the colorful moments with pizzazz and distinct thought. The imagery was over the top, bringing a rainbow of color to the page. Great job on all the colors you used. That you just so brought out and highlighted the specific points of this poem. And the last verse, the warm apricot evening invites the opal moon to highlight the lime green forest with its flushing glow, adding to copper dust smell of hot cocoa, warming our hearts as we finally cross the bridge. And I could actually smell the hot cocoa reading this. You did a fantastic job, Phil. Someday you'll have to come and read in person. Thanks for sharing it, Phil.
And I'm going to read one, Crystal Hope, or did you want to get other comments?
That's the second phone that died on me tonight. Lady A, will you comment for Phil and then read for Crystal, please?
Yes. I've loved Phil's writing for a long time, and he has a beautiful thought process. And I love how so much beautiful imagery in every single line. With the colors that you provided, and he created this poem from those colors, and disappearing behind a giant manatee-shaped clouds while I breathe the lavender and moss of summer, carrying a crate of root beer and caramel coffee, like every single line is filled with imagery, taste and smell. It's just beautiful. And all of Skin Beauty comes to meet me, greeting me with a mocha smile upon her face. I mean, color, dressed in an indigo and tie-dye dress with lilac and pearl, kisses me with lips that taste of sangria and toffee delight. Like, just, it's just a beautiful piece. And then, and to me, this whole poem is like the, his life cycle. It's like from the beginning, it's a life cycle. And then at the end of the piece, the warm apricot evening invites the opal moon to highlight the lime green forest in its blushing glow, adding the copper dusk, the smell of hot cocoa, warming our hearts as we finally cross the bridge and into heaven, I'm going to say, because that's what I read in this. I thought this was really a brilliant poem, and I think Phil, the poet, is underrated, and he is a terrific writer. I like all of his poetry. Well done, Phil.
You're here.
Oh, and you want me to read Crystal's poem too? Okay. Oh, I got carried away with commenting on Phil's. I'm sorry. I was taken away with Phil's poem.
You did a fine job.
So Crystal Hope wrote, "Bristles of broken sunlight. Butterscotch bristles shake against a rigid, rusty tree. Gunmetal clouds paint skies of mixed cornflour and celery. Brittle branches scratch like nails as her fingertips lace the mossy bark. Storms thunder under the fairy tale forest as nimbus clouds fade the dark. Chestnut oak clusters twist like a braid, strands of tumbleweed golden moss. Muddy puddles of polluted waters brush green scum on blackberry rocks. Tropical winds trade upon ebony woods, horizon of broken pieces of life, hiking in asparagus hills destroyed, but goldenrod sunshines beckons the light." And peace.
Beautiful read. Wow. Crystal's another one of the poets that blow us away week after week. Everybody does. I feel like such a broken record sometimes, but I'm quite taken by the level of brilliance that I get to hang out with all the time. Crystal being one of those, and her youthful wisdom always shows, no matter what she writes. I love the image of the first line. Butterscotch bristles shake against the rigid, rusty tree. But butterscotch bristles, it sounds like a pretty tasty treat, actually. With the images like chestnut oak clusters twist like a braid, strands of tumbleweed golden locks. Gorgeous. And then towards the end, tropical winds parade upon ebony woods, a horizon of broken pieces of life. Wow. The sadness there, the pain there is like, ooh, the images took you on an up and down journey. We had thunderstorms, but we had twisted clusters of braids, so the back and forth contrast of the images is pretty profound too. So another excellent piece by my little sis, read by my other sis. Lady A, what did you think?
I thought it was beautiful. You know, she takes us through a very dark place. It's, you know, when you look at bristles and rigid and gunmetal and brittle. I'm just kind of going through, and the storms thunder upon the fairy tale forest. It's like life is all its hard knocks, all the hardness and coldness of life, and you know, us buying into the fairy tale and the storms that gather underneath. But then she blossoms out of that and talks about, chestnut oak clusters twist like a braid and tumbleweed golden locks. But then, you know, muddy puddles of polluted water, brush green scum on blackberry rocks. I thought that combination in that of rhyme in that verse was quite lyrical. I really liked it. But there's, at the very end, like Crystal, you can go through all the BS that you have to go through in your life. You can experience all the hardship and the guilt and sorrow. And everything can be destroyed in front of you. But the goldenrod sunshine beckons the light. So there is always that light at the end of the tunnel with Crystal's poetry. And I appreciate that very much.
I agree, yeah.
Thank you. And Dave, will you comment for Crystal?
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, I remember when I first started reading Chrissy's work, it's changed from that, you know, from then to now. It's changed quite a bit, and I really like it. You know, the first part of that, it says, butterscotch bristles shake against a rigid, rusty tree. Gunmetal clouds paint skies of mixed cornflour and celery. In the forest, when you're climbing up part of a mountain that's forested, when you get up to the top, the trees and stuff are different up there than they are down below for some reason. I don't know if it has to do with the altitude or what it is, but that's kind of what I got from that first stanza there a little bit. And chestnut oak clusters twist like a braid, strands of tumbleweed, golden locks, muddy puddles of polluted water, brush, green scum on blackberry rocks. A lot of times in the woods when you're walking down there and you look down, you'll see some water there, and it's stagnant because it's not running through anything that's moving, and it forms these little green I don't know what they are, almost like algae or microscopic sized water lilies. I don't know, but and then a lot of times the rocks have a really bluish-black cast to them. So I thought she did a really good job on that third stanza there, you know. But anyway, really good poem. I like Chrissy a lot. She's a fun gal, and she's a really turning into a great writer, poetess, whatever you want to call her.
Awesome comment, Dave. And Linda, will you comment for Crystal and then read the last poem for me?
I sure will. Crystal never fails to amaze me, and this is no exception. This was a sharp piece, and I love the colorful imagery it made. This forest dance in the wind, and your description of your prop was neat and captivating. I thought you did a really great job on this, Crystal. Keep writing.
Last poem? Yes.
You want, go ahead and read?
Yes, please.
This is called The Hidden Path by Iris Three, and it goes like this. The forest path, scented with earthly mist, curves down into a cashmere sandy lane, twisting between the jade trees. A makeshift fence runs across, marking out rocks to be stepped on, covered in shamrock fern leaves and moss. The waterfall's rumbling sound reaches our ears a minute before the pearl liquid trails come into view. Over a dozen tourists steadily clamber down to where the wooden railing ends, cooking photos. But I am not satisfied. The water is calling me closer. Outside the fence, a thick grove of emerald and olive tinted trees rustle their leaves in the wind, calling me. I step into the grove. Midst dark chestnut stems, the hidden path is more rocky, shaded in almond and cocoa hues. I slip once on the wet stone ledges, getting closer to the falls each second. And finally, a wet breeze caresses my face. I am at the bottom of the falls, where the opal turbulence merges into a calm pool, gleaming turquoise and aquamarine. This is my reward for having dared to walk down a hidden, untrodden path in poem.
Forest path scented with earthy mist,
bat, our senses are tickled. The smell and the sight, wow. And then when the waterfalls are brought in, with a trickle and step, as it reaches our ears, a minute before the pearl liquid trails come into view, it's like setting you up for what comes next, quite brilliantly, actually. But I am not satisfied. The waterfall is pulling me closer. I'm skinny dipping about to happen there. I thought that the journey is really stunning. And I, at the end, I slipped one on the wet stone ledges, getting closer to the fall of each second. And finally, a wet breeze caresses my face. It's like working up to that actual moment when the water is touching flesh and the cool crispness of the area. I think funny. Great breeze, Linda. What did you think of the poem?
Hello?
Linda, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here. There's like something funky going on. Okay. I thought her work was lovely, and yes, we all have the need to walk beyond the limits that people set for us, or we will never know ourselves completely. I loved her use of color. It just made this poem pop, but the whole thing was just absolutely lovely. Good job, Iris.
Sorry, I had to step away for a few minutes.
Okay.
Hello?
You missed it. It's okay. Dave, will you comment, please?
I'm sorry, Deb. I got kind of sidetracked here with some stuff going on at the house. I didn't pay much attention to it. I apologize for that.
Well, no problem. If you guys are just sure to put some love on the poem and check it out, it's quite lovely. But on that note, let's tell people about the next couple of days. Well, starting with the fact that anybody who's not tired, a Poetic Slice is doing Poe right now, so there's that going on. And they will be there until at least 1:30. And tomorrow, on A Team of Voices, at 11 p.m. Eastern, is the show with Raconteur. And his topic is, what if? What might have changed if you this? Or what might have happened if you that? But what if? It is his topic. And I'll have Lady A tell you hers in just a moment, but since she had to go, I also want to skip over to Thursday for just a moment. Sweet is asking, are you bread or butter? And that's one of the questions on her list. She wants you to take a gander at the questions that she posed and write to incorporate as many of them as you want into your poem. But she asks questions such as, are you the joker or the joke, the cook or the meal, the rainbow or the storm, the princess or the witch, the prince or the frog. So she has some really clever questions there. Are you thirst or the drink? So take them where they send you. And then on Friday is the makeup game for Chick Mac Poe, and it looks like things are going to be back on track, so let's keep our fingers crossed for that. And then in the meantime, Lady A will tell us what's happening on Wednesday, and then I'll close out.
Hey, Deb?
Yes?
Can I plug my show?
Sure.
I have a show.
Sure, it's on the Coast of Gnosis,
so I don't know if that is okay, but it's next Saturday at I believe it's at 6 o'clock. It might be at 5, but it's next Saturday. It's my Liquid Damage Lounge. The theme is Leather and Lace by Stevie Nicks and Don Henley. So come and drop a poem.
Now, when you said 5 or 6, is that your time? So does that mean it's 9 or 10 o'clock?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's 9 or 10 o'clock Eastern time. I'm not sure which yet.
And you said Saturday, so often it's 10 o'clock there, but you can just let us know the time for sure. And I love the song Leather and Lace, so yeah.
I know.
And
all right, Deb, thanks.
Thank you. And Lady A, go ahead and tell us about Wednesday, please. Sis, are you muted?
I really am. Sorry, I was just talking away. Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern is the Mysteries of History with Lady A and my silent partner who helps me do all of the logistics and techie stuff to promote these shows, Sky Dark Home. And so this night is going to be the funniest events in history. And there are 10 prompts to write to, and you can pick one and do whatever you want with it and come back and share it with us and have a few laughs. I'll just give you let me see. I'll pick one here. Okay, prompt number 9 is that during the Opium War, the Chinese set monkeys on fire and launched them at British ships in an attempt to cause chaos. That's not really funny, though, is it? I don't know how that one got in there. I'm very sorry. That's going out of there. That wasn't funny at all. But anyway, there are some funny ones in there. I'm going to review them to make sure that they're all as they are supposed to be funny. So come join me Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. Thank you.
Awesome. And I note from a previous date, we had issues and could not get in or stay in the studio when we tried to do this show for Dave showcasing his poetry. So there are 5 Sundays in the month. We are going to do his showcase show May 30th at 11 p.m. Eastern. So there's that to look forward to as well, which I'll remind you when it gets closer.
Cool.
And on that note, I'm going to say thank you to Hatter. I know you would have stayed if you could. I'm glad you called. And thank you to Kay and Steven and David and Wayne and Sky. And I'm trying to read my own writing. And Lady A and Lynn and Frank and Sweet and AP. And for the recording, thank you to Gerald and Momo and Bill. And for the poetry, Crystal and Iris. Amazing poetry from everyone. You never, ever, ever fail to impress every single week. We appreciate every one of you very much.
Deborah?
Yes, David?
Deb?
Yes.
I would like to say thank you. I would like to say thank you for all of the stellar prompts that you have put in front of us and let our good people write to. I bet you that your prompts have generated more auto-rank 10s than everything else combined. It forces people to write above their normal outside their normal box, I guess is the word I'm saying. The color band, the color, you've made this a three-dimensional thing with the colors and the word banks and the picture prompts. And I think that's just an amazing idea that you have. And I suffice to say, I think it has taken a lot of the writers in ATLV by storm. And I think it's a bit of genius on your part to, you know, have spawned that. And I think it's, I love it. And I think a lot of your I don't know, your compliments should be lavished on yourself as well. You need a giant pat on the back for this, because I really enjoy the personal prompt Mondays, and I know everybody else does too.
Yeah.
Aw, you're making me blush. But I love that everybody's enjoying them so much, and every single time somebody tells me about their 10 or their front page pick, it makes my day. So, like, it was a really nice thing to say. And I get, people think I'm crazy, but these pictures really do. I flip a page, and it's like, oh, and it says your name. And I really have a folder with each one of your names on it. And in each one of those folders is an unbelievable amount of pictures for various reasons.
You have
one time you might have mentioned to me that something like, I like sunflowers. And the next time I see one, it'll call out your name, and you know, I just might have sunflowers in the folder that says Lady A's name, just saying. Or oceans, they get split up between myself and Becky and Lady A, and now and then I try not to be so greedy and share some of them, but you know that expression, a picture is worth a thousand words, but I believe that a picture can trigger a thousand words. And more and more, you guys are all believing it too, and you guys can bring some pictures and art to life. So, you know, impressive. I'm glad everyone's reacting the way they are to it. Anyway.
You have a unique ability to read people, Deborah Lee. You really, that shows me a real concern and a personal involvement in the people that are in your group, and that's amazing to me. That's really amazing. I've never seen that in any other groups I've been in. So, you know, it's another pat on the back for Deborah Lee.
Aww, very sweet, and just got me grinning. But one more thing before we log out, everyone. I do not know the details or anything, but I know that all over all poetry, I see people reaching out for love and light and for keeping Lu Yu Wild Dove in their thoughts. So if everyone would send some good vibes in her direction, she's an awesome lady, and whatever's going on,
what's going on with her?
I don't know.
What's going on with her, Deb?
Yeah, all I know is that it's apparently some kind of a health issue, and that there's contests and shows and love and light going on for her all over the site. I just wanted to send a little bit of it out from here as well. But on that note, love and respect to her, to you guys, and to everyone who called and everyone who's listening in 52 countries, you're very appreciated. And I am going to go out the same way we came in tonight, with our little security blanket, Hatter's Song. So here we go. Love and respect, everyone.
Night, Deb.
Night, Deb.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is golden.
Good night.
Good night.